this journey with Jesus towards the cross. That's what we've been doing this Lent, is we've been trying to grow in our personal faith, grow in our corporate faith here together. And we've looked at some familiar stories. We looked at the man born blind and how we finally saw Jesus and his grace as they truly were. And we looked at Martha and Mary, and that's when this clothing drive kind of started. We said, look, we need to love our neighbor. We need to serve like Martha, and this is something we can do, but we need to spend time with Jesus like Mary. And we started our one word reading plan, which, by the way, if you do not have one, they are on a brand new fancy shelf in the lobby before you leave today. That shelf on both sides is full of all kind of stuff, from baseball schedules to the reading plan to Easter egg invites. Check it out. It's like we have the coolest stand in Welford now. I'm not going to go outside of that because I don't know, but I know we have the coolest stand in Welford. Then we looked last week at Lazarus, and we said that even though Lazarus came out of his grave, he still wore these clothes, these grave clothes, and then Jesus set him free of those. And we, during communion, had the opportunity to allow Jesus to set us free from some things in our life. Today we're going to approach another story, another character in our biblical journey, the woman at the well, a very popular story from a variety of different angles. Several of you just heard this story all weekend at the men's retreat, so I apologize, you will not hear anything as powerful as that today. Reverend Yeboah, I couldn't get him to come, so I'm teasing, but I am excited to see how God can use this story in our lives today. So if you will turn to page 865 in our Pew Bibles, or John chapter 4 in your own Bible, we will be visiting that story together. So Jesus and his disciples have been out, and they've been performing all these miracles. And Jesus comes into this Samaritan village called Sychar, and he's tired. I love when we see the human side of Jesus. He's tired. So he sits down at the well, and y'all know the story if you've grown up in church. The lady approaches, and Jesus asks her for a drink of water, which is something no Jew would have ever done. So we're going to pick up with our reading in verse 7. I invite you, if you can and are able, to stand in honor and reverence of the reading of the gospel this morning. I about forgot. A Samaritan, starting with verse 7. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria? Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get this living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us this well, and with his sons and his five flocks drank from it?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come back." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming where you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us." Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one who is speaking to you." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you. Amen. So it's a longer story. It's a longer story, but what happens right where we left off is the disciples finally come back from buying food, and they immediately want to know, why are you talking to this woman? Not only is she a woman, she's a Samaritan woman, which makes her double unworthy, if there is such a thing. The lady then leaves her bucket. She then leaves her bucket. It says, just then the disciples came. They were astonished, but he was speaking with a woman. But no one said, what do you want? Or why are you speaking with her? Then the woman left her water jar, bucket, and went back to the city. And she said to the people, come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he? And they left the city and were on their way to him. I read a story this week about a father and a son who went for a walk, just an ordinary walk through this old field. And the son carried a metal detector. Y'all know the things people use on the beach? And you kind of laugh at them. They don't find anything. Well, actually, this time the son comes up on, and they dig down, and they uncover this huge pot. And it's full of gold and silver. This ordinary walk for them actually uncovered this huge treasure that they never could have dreamed of. Is that not what happened to the lady that day? She thought she was going just on her ordinary journey to the well. But she found a treasure when she had her encounter with Jesus. You see, there's a part of the story that just kind of gets overlooked, but we find out that this lady is at the well at noon. That would have never have happened unless you wanted to avoid all communication with all the other women of the village. She was ashamed of who she was. She probably didn't have a lot of friends. At the conference, we were told she must have been hot stuff. That's what he said. He said, she must have been one hot mama. So all the other ladies didn't want anything to do with her because she may steal their husband. I don't know. That's not biblical, but it was funny when he said it, you know. And so this lady is standing there. She has this encounter with Jesus. Reverend George Acevedo said this. He said she left her water jar. John 4:28 tells us that she left her water jar at the well when she went to tell others that she had met the Messiah. That water jar represented everything in her life. It sustained her. But it also represented all her guilt and shame. Do you realize that we still carry around water jars? We still carry around buckets going through our normal life, waiting, carrying, hoping, wishing, dreaming. And then we have the opportunity to encounter Jesus. See, too many times we approach church like, well, it's just going to be, you know, another ordinary day at church. Preacher's going to make corny jokes, tell us we need to be in Sunday school, and they're going to have a meeting today. Sounds about right, doesn't it? But what if we started approaching church like something radical might happen? Like we might actually get to have an encounter, a life-changing, transformative encounter with Jesus Christ. That's what happened to the lady. And that's what happens if you'll truly open your heart to worship. The second thing that happened is when the lady leaves, now think about it, this is the lady nobody wants to talk to. She leaves her bucket, she leaves her guilt, she leaves her shame, she leaves transformed, she goes back to the village without her water. Now it's not like us. See, I carry two bottles of water down every sermon, and I drink one on my desk. So that's three every morning, and I just get a new one. She can't bathe, she can't cook, she can't clean without her water, but she left it there. She gets back to the village and she says, hey everybody, come and see a man that just told me everything about myself. Is that the Messiah? And the scripture tells us they went to see him. They left immediately. Think about it. The person that you can't stand comes and tells you to come see something. Are you going with them? I'm not. I don't like them. So, I mean, come on, y'all, don't act like the preacher's the only one. The village, doesn't like this lady. And she says, come and see. And they actually go with her. So there's two reasons they would have gone with her. One, they can't wait to have another opportunity to not like her. Or two, they saw something different in her. They saw something different this time. Maybe her eyes sparkled or her smile wouldn't go away. Or maybe it was just the excitement in her voice. Or maybe it was that she was not ashamed to say, he told me everything. They knew everything too. You know how small towns are, right? People know everything. Everybody knew this lady's business, and now she's not ashamed of it. She says, he told me everything. Come see him. He might be, see the Messiah? So they go with her. I'm convinced that somewhere on this journey from her encounter with Jesus, down this road back to her village, this lady became different. That's why they went back. So they go back, and this week, a real dear friend of mine shared one of my favorite songs with me. She didn't know it was one of my favorite songs, but she shared it with me and a couple others on the radio one morning, and it's the song, and the title of it is Different. That's just the title of it. I think the guy's name, you know who sings it? Micah something? Micah something. You can Google it. It'll come up. If you don't know what Google is, it's this. Never mind. But here's the words. Here's the way the song starts. It says, I don't want to hear anymore. Teach me to listen. If you got kids or grandkids, you know there's a difference between hearing and listening, right? Y'all know that. Who? Micah Tyler. I told you it was Micah. I don't want to see anymore. Give me a vision. That you could move this heart to be set apart. I don't need to recognize the man in the mirror. And I don't want to trade your plan for something familiar. I can't waste a day. I can't stay the same. I want to be different. I want to be changed. Till all of me is gone and all that remains is a fire so bright the whole world can see. That there's something different. So come and be different in me. Those are powerful words, aren't they? Is that not what happened to this lady? She goes back and there's either a fire bursting out of her soul or there's these streams of living water that Jesus promises busting out of her, and there's something different to where they will actually come and follow her back to Jesus. Acevedo said again, grace, grace is what made her different. Grace overcame her guilt when she met Jesus. She left it at the foot of Jesus, and she left that waterhole transformed because she had met with Jesus. That's the goal every time we get together, that we will leave a little bit more transformed because we spent time with Jesus. Here, verses 39 through 42. Many Samaritans from that city believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I have ever done. So this town believed because of this woman's testimony. This double unworthy person, right? Because she's a woman in this time and she's a Samaritan. She has no seminary training. She's not a preacher. She's a person who has encountered Jesus. She told them about that encounter and they believed. Y'all can see where we're going with this sermon, can't you? If we're coming back to that, hold on to it. Yeah, amen. You better get your amen ready because we're coming back to it. Then it continues. So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. In this town he shouldn't have been in, he stayed 2 more days. And many more believed because of his word. Then they said to the woman, it is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world. Church, that's what our faith has to be about. If not, this is, y'all know church is just religion. What church is. Faith is being set apart. Faith is being transformed by the grace of God and living different everywhere we go. I've had this great awakening, this revelation, this aha moment over the last 6 weeks that maybe I had gotten things twisted. That's what our young kids say. Didn't y'all still say that? No? Golly. They said that 4 years ago. When I was still teaching, they said that. But we get so wrapped up in, Michelle, how many people were here today? How much was this? How many? Oh my goodness, our average went from 66 to 64. Does any of that really matter? No, don't misunderstand. I want you here because when you're here, you experience the grace of God. I want you here. But what should really matter is how many of us are transformed tomorrow because we were here today. See, if we can get as a church, well, it's okay, so we only have, whatever, 69 people here last week. Well, if only one person left transformed, praise God. But I'd rather have 50 and 30 leave transformed. Because that's how we're going to change the world. We're going to change the world when we all start deciding we're going to live a little bit different. It's uncomfortable to talk about, isn't it? When was the last time you were willing to tell somebody about what Christ has done for you? Now it just got real uncomfortable, didn't it? See, it's uncomfortable for me too. I know right now you've got somebody in your mind that you need to share the love and grace of Christ with, but you're scared to do it. But see, here's the truth. You're gonna impact somebody's vision, somebody's thoughts about the gospel in three ways. Indifference, negative, or transformative. You're either going to be indifferent. They're not even going to know you are a Christian because you've never told them. Y'all know that happens, right? You tell somebody, oh, I go to church. You go to church? I'm not the only one that's ever happened to. I got a college roommate. I told him I was a preacher. He said, you're a preacher? It's going to take me an hour to edit this sermon. We make negative impacts on people because we forget that people are watching us. I know it's not fair. I get it. But you know, people, when they know you're a Christian, they know you proclaim to follow Christ, and then they see you looking like the world, that's what Paul talks about. Be careful. Don't look like the world. We make a negative impact because they just say, well, if he's a Christian and he can act like that, I can do whatever I want to do and it's not going to matter either. Or you can be like the woman at the well. And you can go and you can say, I'm messed up. I got all these issues in my life. But let me tell you about somebody that changed it. Let me tell you about Jesus. Come and see him with me. Because see, that's all the lady did was give an invitation. She invited, they came and saw, and then the scripture tells us it was no longer because of her testimony, but Jesus' word that they believed. But her testimony got them in front of Jesus. Y'all know Easter's coming. I got a box full of invitation business cards that says, please join me at, and on the other side, it's got all our information. They're going to be in the lobby when you leave today. Don't take them and just leave them in your car. But if you want to invite somebody to come encounter Jesus Christ, take them and give them to them. Take them and give them to them. They'll be out there. That's what we bought them for. My new hero, Reverend Yeboah. He's the superintendent in Orangeburg. He'll never hear this, so it's not like I'm buttering up to somebody ahead of me. But he's from Ghana, and he, y'all, by far, he is the funniest preacher I have ever heard. He's probably the best I've ever heard. But this is what he said about this story. He said, our response to God's grace today should mirror the Samaritan woman's. When you relinquish your past, you think of the goodness of God in your life. Your gesture of gratitude to God is to go sign other people up, singing, preaching, volunteering, paying apportionments. It's all secondary to one-on-one registration. What he meant by that was you going to tell one other person and signing them up to be on Team Jesus. I just came up with that. It's pretty good, isn't it? Team Jesus. It says registration is not optional for disciples. The highest expression of gratitude is telling somebody else what God has done in your life. Then he said this, and this is what stuck with me. The only thing better than going to heaven is bringing somebody else with you. Amen. I gave him credit, right? I told you I was going to give him credit. The only thing better than going to heaven, y'all know that's going to be good. I can't wait. I mean, I really can't wait. I'm so excited. Is to take somebody else with you. I love taking people on trips with me. It's because I'm cool to hang out with. I am. Do you know how cool it will be one day when you see somebody you know in heaven? And you go, oh man! Oh, and you embrace and you're just so happy. And they say, you know how I got here? By the blood of Jesus. And you say, me too! And they say, but you know who told me and showed me the blood of Jesus? You did. Can you imagine? Could you imagine? Yeah, it'd be so cool, wouldn't it? That would be so cool if somebody said, Jesus is the one that saved me. Don't think you good, but you're the one that took me to Jesus. Parents, grandparents, we got to take our kids to the cross. I know they want to fit in and look like everybody else, and it's not fair, Dad, that my rules are different. Son, because you are different. You are a disciple of Jesus Christ. You are different. Men, we got to help each other. Take each other to the cross so that we can be different. Different in our homes, different in our workplaces, different everywhere we go. And then probably the most valuable people in the church, ladies, you got to take each other to the foot of the cross, because sometimes that's the only place you'll find love and support. And sometimes when another woman needs your love and support, you point right to the cross. You can transform their lives. I covered everybody, didn't I? We got to be different. So today, the best I can figure with my small brain is we're in three places today. We're either carrying our bucket, we're walking around with grief or guilt or shame or whatever. We're the woman walking to the well, desperate for something. Or maybe we're there at the well encountering Jesus and filling up on that living water. Or maybe, just maybe, we're that tiny little church in Welford that's so different that when we say, come and see what Jesus did for me, the whole town comes and believes.